So I'm going to jump right into our next story. This comes all the way from New Zealand, from one of our listeners. Actually, to be more specific, this comes from American Samoa. He grew up, he was sent to live in a village out there with his older relatives as kind of a punishment. I guess this place is home to one of the last groups of people who stopped doing cannibalism, and that's where he wound up getting sent to live. Our listener's name, his real name is actually very, very long. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. I'll have him do that for us. But he goes by Ethan, so I'm going to call him Ethan. But yeah, this one's very unique, and I'm just going to let him tell the story.
So my full name is actually Su'umalo Itenishwalga, which is my Maasai title from Samoa. But my English name's Ethan, and I'm based in New Zealand, but I was raised in Samoa for a bit. Samoa and the Pacific Islands, they're pretty superstitious when it comes to sort of, you know, anything regarding spirits and death and things like that. And our village of Waitangi was one of the last recorded places in the Pacific to stop cannibalism. So it was, you know, always had a bit of a haunting sort of background. But they reckon, you know, years ago, maybe over 100 years ago, the village actually was full of sinners and criminals and murderers and things like that. And the village actually caught on fire. And while the village was on fire, the villagers would go to the water with coconuts and they'd fill it with water and they'd run back to the fire to try and douse the fire out with water. But every time they threw it onto the fire, it supposedly turned to oil and the fires just got bigger. And then after a weekend long affair, basically everyone in the village was dead. When I was 15, I sort of like dropped out of high school and I was just sort of hanging out with the wrong people and things like that. I was a troubled teen to say the least, and it's pretty common in sort of Samoan families and Pacific nations, for like, you know, if the kids are sort of misbehaving, they're not really appreciative of what they have, your family will sort of send you back to the island. So my dad gave me a one-way ticket back to Samoa, and sort of the goal of it is like you work on the plantation, it's sort of supposed to bring you back down to earth, make you go back home with a greater appreciation for everything you have and behaving a bit better. And it works, I reckon. Well, when you first get there, the first night is real obvious. Like, people always cover their mirrors at night because they believe that, you know, if you look in the mirror at nighttime, like especially around midnight, that you might see the spirit and the spirit might try to take you back. And like, you also get told, like, you're not supposed to whistle at night. Whistling is just like a super big no-no. Apparently it sort of invites spirits into your home. Like, you're supposedly saying like, welcome, come on in, this is where we live, this is where we sleep. I thought it was all gibberish, you know. I was like, you crazy backwards people living in the bush, like something's not right with you. And my auntie gave me that story and I thought she was just playing around with me. So like, one night when we were having dinner, I whistled and my auntie beat my ass. She was like, you can never do that again in this home. We're sending you away. I was like, it's that serious? She's like, yeah, like, you cannot do that in this place. Yeah, so I didn't have a job or school at the time, so I was sort of just home alone in the day. I went outside to have a cigarette. I sort of snuck away from everybody, so I went way away. Our driveway was like, you know, a good 100 meters long. It was midday. I was like, the best place I can go to make sure no one's going to see me have a cigarette is right out on the road, right tucked in by the bushes, by the bus stop. And I was like, okay, this is where we're going to go. I get down, nobody's around, it's clear for days. There were no other houses from our sort of driveway for like maybe another 3 minute drive, maybe like a couple hundred meters. So, you know, I sat down on the sidewalk and I light up the cigarette and, you know, the sun's beaming down, everything's good. And then I hear this thing in the bush behind me and I'm thinking, okay, it's got to be an animal. I was worried because, you know, dog attacks are super, super common in Samoa. And I was like, all right, okay. So I get up and then this dog comes out of the bushes and it's this little, it's maybe a year old, this puppy. It's blonde. It's a super skinny, like super malnourished, like I'd say Labrador. And it comes out and it sort of looks at me and I didn't click it first. But when I took a better look at it, like the whole body of this dog was just like open wounds. Like this dog had been poured over in oil. This dog had been lit on fire, and it looked like maybe the fire had just been put out. Like, it looked super fresh, the wound. So, obviously, like, you know, I love animals. I freak out. I'm looking at this dog. It looks super sad. It looks super hurt.
So I'm like, I should grab this dog and make sure it's okay. And when I sort of like go to grab the dog, it just freaks out and it hurls into the bush. I follow this dog out into the woods, and we're walking for maybe, we maybe get 100 meters deep into the bush. And you know, when you go through the bush, you have to be careful, because like when the great burning happened, they sort of just buried all these people where it was clear, and eventually they just didn't look after it, and all these this forest is grown around these graves, and you don't want to stand on the graves, so you sort of watch where you're walking. And but I'm still trying to catch this dog, and we get deeper into the woods, and then it goes behind this tree and it just disappears. Like, I don't know where it could have gone, but it just disappeared, like, into thin air. And you know, I'm looking around for this dog, and then I sort of realize, like, you know, the ground's really firm. I don't know, this isn't grass, this isn't sand. So I sort of look down and I realize that I'm actually standing on something concrete. And as I sort of, you know, brush my foot around to sort of see what it is, I realize I'm standing on a gravestone. So I sort of, you know, I step back and I'm freaking out. I'm like, okay, well, I've lost this dog. Now I'm in the woods with a bunch of dead bodies and gravestones and things like that. And when I look closer at the gravestone to sort of see, you know, is there a name or what year is this? The grave doesn't actually say anything. It just says the words Devolo, which in Samoan means devil, which is, you know, not the most exciting thing to find in the bush. I lost the dog, and here I am standing on supposedly the devil's grave. Ugh. I ran home crying. I was freaking out. I talked to my auntie that night, like when she got home from work, I was telling her what happened, and she's like, you don't follow dogs into the woods. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, apparently, supposedly, you follow dogs, like if a dog runs into the forest and you follow it into the woods, they take you to wherever they died, and the spirit will, you know, snatch your life and take over your body or something like that. They didn't doubt for a second that it happened. They were just like, oh yeah, don't do that again. I was like, this is casual, this happens. Like, we went back to see if we could actually find where it was, because like my cousins were like, there's no way the grave said Devolo. I was like, I'm certain it did it, because that's why I freaked out. And we didn't walk too far, because obviously, like, there's genuine superstition there, but we genuinely just couldn't find it at all. Like we would have walked around for maybe 30 minutes to an hour trying to find this thing. Never again. It was unreal. I've never found the gravestone again. Like, we tried to find it, but I don't know where the hell it was or where the hell I was, so